We'll bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And along with my buddy and friend and partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you very much for joining us. It is Friday, October the 14th, and we got a lot going on today. In a few minutes, John Higgins of the Competitive Enterprise Institute is going to join us, and we are going to talk about the Department of Labor's new rule that could be a huge blow to independent contractors, you know, these gig workers and their relationship with their employers. So stay tuned for that just a few minutes. And those of you on Social Security can prepare for the biggest increase in your check in over 40 years. In other words, the biggest increase you've ever seen. We'll talk about that as well and why. And while inflation spikes up again, Joe Biden tries to say we're making progress on the economic front. We're going to talk about how he gets away with that. So stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, these days, crime being a big thing, we're taking a look at the 10 most dangerous cities. The most dangerous cities. That'll be towards the end of the show, so stay tuned for that as well. By the way, don't forget to listen to Senior Voice America. They come on Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. They precede our show. Always delighted to have them precede our show. Tim Bryce and company, great program. Senior Voice America. First of all, I don't want to pass on my deep condolences to you on the loss of your dad. I know what the feeling is like, of course, having lost my father quite a few years ago, but it's never easy. We'll kind of dedicate the show to him today.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Of course. And also, poor Eddie's running around. We're still trying to get all of our technical stuff back in place ever since we had a lightning strike, gosh, almost a month ago now, I guess. Yeah. And so it meant that we have to get new equipment, and that yep. always takes time. We're getting a new board for Ed, and the poor guy's been going through Hades. He's keeping the show on the air. So we salute Ed.
Well, Bobby, I want to say Bobby, too. Bobby's done a lot of work.
Okay, let's do that as well. A tip of the hat to Bobby, great guy. Bobby and Ed, two hardworking WTAN people. And I'm proud to call Ed my buddy and my partner. So, Social Security. Ed, you're going to be, you're not yet ready for Social Security money, are you?
Absolutely not.
Would you like some?
Sure, I'll take it.
Well, I'll tell you what. Those of us that get Social Security are set to get an 8.7% raise in our benefits. That's the most any of us have ever seen in a single year at cost of living increase. You know why?
Why?
Because the cost of living is going shooting through the roof. That's why. Because of inflation. So the COLA, or the cost of living adjustment,
right,
is what happens with Social Security. This is going to be the biggest jump in 40 years from one year to the next. So
who's paying for that?
Well, you know who pays for it. if you hear the word government, just think
we have this running tab going with somebody, you know.
Well, you know, the truth is that we're just borrowing money. You know this. We talk about it all the time. We're at $31 trillion in debt. It's not like we're going to see a hike in our taxes. Right. It's because we keep borrowing money and we keep hoping that people will buy our debt. That's how that works right now. Some sucker will continue to think that we will pay off. Well, as long as we pay the interest on the debt, in other words, pay them their interest on their borrowing, their lending, you know, we can continue to operate. But it's going to get to the point where we won't even be able to pay that. We keep going like this. I believe our gross national product is now lower. Everything that everybody makes in this country is lower than our national debt. Mm. Give you some idea of how deep in debt we are. So, as I said, the higher payments for Social Security, they come in response to the hottest inflation in four decades. Prices paid by the consumer went up 8.2% from September of a year ago, just to give you an idea. In other words, you're spending almost 10% more for everything than you were a year ago, 8.2%. So the annual wage for Social Security recipients, calculated on the Consumer Price Index for urban wage earners and clerical workers, and that's how they come up with it. So I guess you could just say enjoy it now. It will help you with your groceries a little bit more, those of you that are on fixed incomes and Social Security recipients. So away we go with all of that. In the meantime, I see where I'm hoping it's the last January 6th committee hearing. It took place yesterday. It's dying a slow death. And Trump watched it. And in fact, they kind of closed off everything by saying they want to subpoena Trump. They want him to show up and they want to question him. And apparently, Trump said he loves the idea of testifying before them. It's never going to happen. And the reason it's not going to happen is because if the Republicans take control of the House, which it looks like there's a 90% chance that they will disband this House committee. And so you won't go any further with it. But the panel yesterday unanimously voted to subpoena Donald Trump to testify before them. A source said that if Trump complied and showed up for the testifying, he would, quote, talk about how corrupt the election was, how corrupt the committee was, how Nancy Pelosi did not call up the National Guard that Trump strongly recommended for her to do 3 days earlier. In other words, on January the 3rd. Huh. Now, I don't know if Trump really would show up, even if he would really want to. It's easy to sit back and say what you would do. But this whole thing is theater. I watched a little bit of it yesterday. It was laughable. Every one of them is reading every single word. There isn't one, unstaged moment in the entire process. It's a complete play, complete theater production.
Of course it is.
So, and oh boy, did C-SPAN make a big, they devoted 2 hours to people calling in today to talk about the January 6th hearing. I like watching C-SPAN in the morning because I want to hear the callers that call in, but they have beaten this horse to death. Anyway, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what's going on with the gig workers in this country regarding a new Department of Labor rule that could be a big blow to them as well as to their employers with Sean Higgins.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the TAN Talk Radio Network.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
I took my troubles down to Madam Ruth. You know that gypsy with the gold cap too. She's got a hat on 34th and Vine, selling little bottles of love potion number 9. I told her that
number 9, we're back. And delighted to have back our old buddy Sean Higgins, who is a research fellow. He specializes in labor and employment for the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk with him about this new Department of Labor rule that defines how workers should be classified as either employees or independent contractors. This could be actually, this new rule could really hurt both, I guess, employers and gig workers. Sean, welcome back to Freedom Works. Well, apparently we're having a little bit of technical difficulty. We're going to try and get Sean back, right, Ed? See if we can get him. All right. That happens in show business when you're doing a live program. But why don't we do this? While we're trying to get him back, I'll just give you a little background on the Department of Labor rule. On Tuesday, they published a new regulation on how workers should be classified, whether they should be employers or independent contractors. It narrows the definition of an independent contractor. Now, they're trying, and they're kind of 20 people in or independent contractors. But these are people that hire on for a short period of time and will work with a company at a set length of time, usually, and a set price, and they work it out between themselves. And that was, it used to be, that was how this country worked. You know, you had freedom to work and negotiate with the person that was hiring you. You didn't have all these other people standing behind him or behind you, telling you how to run things. But so this could have major consequences for, you know, companies like Uber, Lyft, and any other industry depends on these kinds of people that kind of want to be on their own. And, you know, one of the things for an independent contractor that they like, and I've been one over the years, is that you get to set your own hours of work. You don't have to, you know, punch a clock, come in at 8:30 in the morning and, you know, punch out at 5 p.m. or whatever it is. You work in a relationship that suits your personal situation. That's one of the freedoms. Now, companies are required to provide certain benefits and legal protections to employees as employees, but not independent contractors. That's the thing for the employer. That's how it becomes an interesting thing for the employer. Do we have Sean Higgins back? Sean, are you there, my friend?
Yeah, I'm here, although you sound really sort of distorted on my end.
I'm not hearing anything, so I... Are you there, Sean?
Yeah. Can you hear me? Can you guys hear me?
Well, apparently, Sean, you can hear us. I can't hear. What?
Sean, can you hear us?
I can hear you guys. Can you hear me?
Okay, yeah, I can hear him. Can you hear me, Paul?
I hear you, Ed, but I don't hear Sean.
Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you guys, but it's also really loud.
Okay, I guess we're...
previously.
Oh, well. Well, we'll keep working on it. I'm sorry, Sean, if you can hear me. I apologize. As I said, we had a lightning strike here about three or so weeks ago, and we're still trying to recover from it with our equipment. Let's do that, Ed. If we could, Ed, can we take a short break here? I want to double check, see if we can still salvage having Sean. Do you think we have him? Apparently not. All right. Let's take a break. Can we do that right now? We'll take a short break if we can, Ed, and see if we can figure out what we're going to do with this interview with Sean Higgins. So we'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Steve Vaccaro, psychologist and host of the Chapters Wrap Live. Each live show will bring on top-notch guests from the nonprofit world. We are the advocacy show that provides a platform for other advocates. So please tune in on your drive home from work to share your voice. The Chapters Wrap, where unity and diversity meet one chapter at a time.
Listen to Kicking Unhealthy Relationships to the Curb at 5, Voices for Change at 6, Reach Out with Ray and Steve at 7, and the Chapters Wrap at 8, Wednesdays, here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
What's the buzz in Tampa Bay? Senior Voice America Radio, a unique morning variety program delivering the latest commentary on politics by host and political analyst Tim Bryce and the up-to-minute happenings of Wall Street. Beyond politics and finance, they scale the scholar's rampart by including topics on religion and nutrition with thought-provoking guests and interviews. Tune in every weekday from 8 to 10 a.m. on this Tan Talk station. Senior Voice America, serving our nation's seasoned citizens for over four decades.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back. We're still having technical difficulties. I apologize to all of us, to all of you. But we're going to try and make do as best we can. I guess we don't have Sean on the line anymore, so we'll just go ahead and continue with the program here on FreedomWorks. This is FreedomWorks. I am Paul Molloy, and normally things go well, but, you know, we're having some problems, I'll be honest with you, with our board. We got the wrong board, apparently, that we have to send back, and we're just kind of working our way through until we get the new board back on. So that's the way things go sometimes. In the meantime, President Biden has been blasted for comments attacking Republicans. Following the September inflation report, we talked about that a little earlier, came out at 8.2% higher cost of living prices than a year ago. He appeared in L.A. to deliver remarks on this so-called bipartisan infrastructure law. His speech came after the new Consumer Price Index report. And here's what he had to say. He said, today's report shows some progress. He says, overall inflation was 2% over the last 3 months. That's down from 11% over the prior 3 months. I don't know what he's talking about. He says, that's progress. He says, but a lot of it has resulted from getting the cost of living at the gas pump down. And, of course, he was in California talking about that, where gas is about $6 a gallon. But here's what he claims. He says, if Republicans win, inflation is going to get worse. That one's a little hard to swallow, Joe. So he got attacked. Here's contributing editor of Spectator, Stephen Miller, quote, he, meaning Biden, he has no idea what's happening with inflation today. They just hand him something to say, and he says it. Here's a quote from a senior political correspondent at National Review. Quote, this is really lousy messaging on a day when inflation came in at 8.2% year over year. Here's a Republican communicator by the name of Matt Whitlock. He said, the guy has watched inflation rise nearly every month of his presidency, to the worst levels in 40 years based on party line policies. And he's going to come out and say this? Pathetic. So anyway, it goes on and on, but you can get the general idea that people are not reacting kindly to what Joe Biden has to say. We can kind of also take a look at different segments of the commodities. Spending at retail stores went flat in September. Retail sales are a measure of how much consumers spend on a number of everyday goods, including cars, food, and gas. Basically, it was unchanged from August to September. They stayed about the same. But inflation increased more than expected, and just to give you an idea, here's a breakdown of where you are seeing prices rise the fastest. The food, meat, and fish in the food department, meat and fish costs, according to the Consumer Price Index, food has been one of the most visceral reminders of inflation. Well, we knew that. Then in another area, energy costs, they rose again. And that's something we also already know. But Ed, you can hear me okay, correct? All right. Can you and I talk to each other, or is that a situation?
Sure can.
All right, I can hear you. Good. Just want to make sure we have a lifeline.
We do.
All right. Other things that Joe Biden is screwing up these days includes our relationship with Saudi Arabia in the Middle East. The Biden administration's policy on the Middle East has fractured some of the United States' most dependable partnerships in the region, and he's driving them towards Russia and China. Can you believe that? Here's the Heritage Foundation's Virginia Coates. She says that countries that have historically been close partners of the United States are turning to Russia and China, and it's a massive failure of American leadership. You remember he went over there, Biden did, he did a fist bump, and he said, hey, how about pumping more oil? And apparently they said to him, hey, how about pumping more sand?
Which you see is, where they threw him under the bus?
They don't need additional sand over there in Saudi Arabia. I'm sorry, but they just don't. So why do they want Joe Biden to pump sand? We're trying
you see
to
where
get,
they threw him under the bus?
He threw him under a sand dune is what he
well,
said.
They revealed that he asked them to, if they were going to decrease production, to wait till after midterms.
That's another thing. You know, he should be impeached for that. Really, I'm not being funny about it. They impeached Donald Trump for making a phone call to Zelensky, the president of the Ukraine, asking him to check in on very precarious goings on at their energy company that had to do with Biden's son. And of course the Democrats jumped all over that and impeached Donald Trump on a phone call. Remember that?
Yep.
But Biden can go over and say, hey, how about this? You hold off on dropping your production of oil, hold off until after this election, November the 7th or whenever it is. Can you do that for me, buddy? Can you give me another fist bump on that one? In fact, they even came out. Saudi Arabia even came out and said that was the intent. Biden won't even admit that was the major reason he went over to see them. That's how, I guess he thinks everybody's an idiot, about what's going on with him. When he lies about why he's going over there, he won't even admit it.
It's the way they are. They feel they have to answer to no one.
It's crazy. So now, we're driving the Middle Eastern countries towards China and Russia. That's the last thing we want. But they are forming relationships. Remember that Russia pumps a lot of oil as well, produces a lot of gas and oil as well. Now, the Biden administration is condemning the decision by the Saudis not to pump more oil and vows to review the U.S. relationship with Saudi Arabia, saying that there could be consequences. In other words, if you don't pump more oil, we're going to stop sending you weapons. I don't know. I mean, if you're going to impeach Trump for a phone call, and now Biden is trying desperately politically to shape the election by going to other countries and telling them it's all a matter of timing. It's all a matter of time. You got to wait. Wait till after our election. Can you wait till after our elections? Please wait till that. Here, I'll give you another fist bump. Here's another jar of sand you can throw out the window here. All right. Enough about that. Did you see about the Parkland shooting trial and what happened there?
I did.
Yes, indeed. Well, Governor Ron DeSantis, our governor here in Florida, has weighed in on the verdict. And if you remember, the jury decided to give a life sentence to the Parkland shooter. The guy's name is Nicholas Cruz. DeSantis says the death penalty would have been more appropriate. He said, I think that if you have a death penalty at all, that is a case where you're massacring those students with premeditation and utter disregard for humanity, then you deserve the death penalty. So the jury's decision came after 7 hours of deliberation over 2 days. The trial lasted 3 months. The life sentence means the Cruz will get the same. This is what DeSantis said about it. He said the Cruz's life sentence means he'll get the same sentence as people who have committed bad acts, but not at the level of premeditated mass murder. So now there are a lot of people that don't think we should become what the people we are, you know. If we kill people that killed other people, we become like them.
Right.
And we should just maybe eliminate the whole concept of a death penalty. And a lot of people buy into it. The only thing I would say is that I don't want the taxpayers funding these people for the rest of their lives. And I've always been a proponent of private prisons, where you make the people that have been in prison for legitimate reasons work, and in many ways pay back the victims of the crime through producing a product in the prison that can be sold on the open market. That way, and the prison itself would be funded on the private market, because they would sell the products that the prisoners were making, and a portion of what the prisoner is making by creating the product would go towards the victims that he did something to, you know, the survivors of the crime or
now,
whatever.
Did he get a life sentence without parole, chance of parole?
Did Cruz get a life sentence without parole? Is that what you're asking? Let me see if they say that technically here. Okay. It just says life sentence here.
I mean, there were what, 9 counts? How many people? How many people?
Yeah, didn't he kill 17 people or something like that? It was terrible. Let's see here. Anyway, let me just say this: that DeSantis went on to say, "I just don't think anything else is appropriate," meaning a death sentence, except a capital sentence. And so I was very disappointed. Okay. Under Florida law, a death sentence requires a unanimous vote on at least one of the counts. And there were, of course, all the counts account for each person that was killed. While the jury found that there were aggravating factors to warrant the death penalty for every victim, they also found mitigating factors. Apparently, somebody must have talked to a few of the jurors. In the end, the jury could not agree that the aggravating factors outweighed the mitigating ones. Oh, to answer your question, yes, Cruz is going to get life without parole. So he'll be living off the public, I guess, for the rest of his life in prison. So that's it. Anyway, it's a horrible, tragic thing that that happened. Can we take a break, Ed, and then get our thoughts together, and then we will come back. Among other things, I want to talk about we have a very good top 10 most dangerous cities, which of course has been in the news recently. And I also want to read a letter that I think you might find rather interesting. It's by a guy by the name of Bruce Kelly, and it's entitled "Girls as Not Necessarily Woke." Anyway, we will be right back.
in the tall oak tree. The wise are loud, the big black crow flap for their wings, singing go bird go. Rockin' Robin, tweet, tweet, rock, rockin'.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, did you know there's a live psychology talk show Friday at noon where you can call in and get free guidance and also learn several different topics relating to ending the stigma on mental health? It's called Moments of Clarity on WTAN 1340 AM. It's with licensed therapist Tiffany Warner, who will try to end the stigma on mental health. But the only way you can do that is to listen to Moments of Clarity Friday at noon on WTAN 1340 AM, the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
If you knew Peggy Sue, all right, we are back. Freedom Works. And by the way, we are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tan Talk Radio Network. Hope you can listen to us live. If you cannot, thanks to Big Ed, all our shows are put on podcast. That means you can go to our website and listen to us anytime you would like. The website, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button. Ed's got all our shows. Most recent shows are at the front. You'll see who the guest is and our top 10. And away you go. All right. So I got an email from my sister, Georgia, who's listening. God love her. Normally listening. And I find that it was a very interesting, I guess you might say, a little piece by a guy by the name of Bruce Gilley. He's a professor at Portland State University. He's a member of the board of the National Association of Scholars. And it had to do with a fundraising letter that I think he got from the university. And believe me, if you're a parent or if you're a student and you graduate,
why is he not hearing?
One of the things that you can be guaranteed is that you will get regular contact by the university to send them money for all the different things they are doing. So this is a little piece that he penned about that situation. It's called Girls Are Girls As Not Necessarily Woke. Again, his name is Bruce Gilley. He says, I am blessed to be the father of a beautiful young woman who just began university after graduating from St. Mary's Academy. It's an all-girls Catholic school in Portland, Oregon. I've always been surrounded by strong and faithful women. My mother, my two elder sisters, my many nieces, and of course, my wife. In addition to rearing children, they have followed many vocations, some doctors or engineers, attorneys, investors, and the like. But reflecting on the state of my daughter's high school, I'm concerned that girls today are being offered radically limited ideas of how to live meaningful lives. We are Episcopalian, and we're grateful to have our daughter educated in a faith community that emphasized God's presence in all places and striving for the good in every endeavor. Having a Catholic girls' school in ultra-liberal Portland is a challenge. Many students come from radical left-wing families with avowedly anti-Catholic views who forced the school to compromise on the ideal of a non-political education. He goes on to say, like all Catholic schools, St. Mary's was pressured during the past decade to get woke with equity teams, affinity groups, Black Lives Matter movements, Native American land acknowledgments, transgender affirmations, climate change hysteria, and all the rest. I found myself counting the days until my daughter got out. Like all prudent parents, I kept my peace for the most part. But after my daughter graduated, I had an opportunity to reflect on the school's direction when I received the first alumni donor appeal. The school's president defined St. Mary's mission as preparing girls, quote, to bridge equity gaps, explore careers in STEM, that's STEM, and advocate for change in every element in society, unquote. Every element in society? This appeal for girls to become mindless agitators without any contemplation of the need, direction, and consequences of change should scare the living daylights out of any parent. Yes, your daughter can grow up to be Jane Fonda. As a handy reference, the fundraising letter included a header with suggested future roles for your daughter. Quote, girls as, unquote, was the repeated phrase followed by a series of suggestions. Here are some of them. Global citizen, social activist, environmental champion, political leader, scientist, entrepreneur. To me, the list looked rather circumscribed. I turned the letter over and scribbled down a dozen or so roles that were missing. Loving mother, faithful witness of Christ, steward of a free society, corporate executive, patriot, advocate for parental rights, soldier, caregiver, civil servant, and so on. In other words, I noted things girls are discouraged from being by today's liberal mainstream. I worry that my daughter will feel like a failure if she doesn't appear in alumni updates for working on intersectional justice in marginalized communities. I worry that a whole generation of girls is being sent screaming into the culture wars by the social anxieties of its parents. I mail the letter back with my additions and a fresh postage stamp of Nancy Reagan. So that's it. And again, this is Bruce Gilley. He is a professor at Portland State University. Wow. How many conservative professors can we find at Portland State? And as I said, he's also a member of the board of the National Association of Scholars. And Ed, I'm still not able to hear myself. I guess I can hear you, right? Can I hear you or can you hear me? I'm not sure.
I would think, can you hear me?
Now I can hear you.
Okay.
But I can't hear myself talking. So just so you know, I think I'll do a little conversation with you till the end, because at least I know I'm connected to something.
Yeah, you're on.
As a matter of fact, I want to talk with Ed before we get to our top 10. I want to talk with Ed a little bit about the, I guess we got several sports going on, Ed. I was watching, my beloved Bears were on last night. They were on a network called Amazon Prime. In other words, Thursday Night Football used to be one of the regular networks you could get on cable TV. But now you apparently have to subscribe to Amazon Prime.
Right.
If you want to watch a Thursday Night Football game. They have a deal, and I'm not pushing it, but they have a deal that you can try a test subscription to Amazon Prime. So I decided, all right, it said you can cancel it within 3 days. Now, I wanted to watch the football game, and I don't really care about getting the benefits of Amazon Prime, to be honest with you.
Right.
So I'm planning on canceling.
Well, but I'm a Prime member.
I want your advice.
I do get it.
You do get Prime.
Yeah. Now, there was a deal with Major League Baseball. I don't know if you saw it this year. There was a couple of games, well, more than a couple, that were on Apple TV only. Now, that you could get a month free to try it, and then you pay a subscription. So, in other words, it's another way for them to get you to pay for it.
Right. Now, I think on Amazon Prime, and I may be wrong, there'll be a lot of people that think, okay, I'm going to watch the football game, and then next day I'm going to cancel.
Right.
Okay. So they have on there something about you can cancel within the 3 days, and all you'll be charged will be the value of whatever product you have purchased. So I'm wondering if they're going to figure out a ticket price for watching the game.
Well, the thing is, it's only a one-time thing. You can't keep trying it every month.
Oh, no. Absolutely, you can't. I can understand that. That would be unfair to them. But my question is, do I get back my $14.95 for the first month? That's what I wonder. We'll see. I don't know. Anyway, I watched it. It was, unfortunately, the Bears were on their way to winning, and then a colossal mistake happened where on a punt to the Bears, or was it a kickoff after a score? Anyway, the Bears were up, and the Bear receiver dropped the ball right near the goal line. Did you see that? And
Yeah,
it made me sick to my stomach.
In fact, Washington
recovered right around the 5-yard line of the Bears and scored.
The last 2 weeks have been horrible on Thursday night. I mean, the week before, I think, was Denver and Seattle, and the final score was 6-9 or something like that. So they renamed it, instead of Thursday night football, it's Turdsday night football.
Well, as a matter of fact, they were making a joke. The announcer was making a joke about now, the last Thursday night, there were no touchdowns. And they were hoping, and in the first half of the game, there were no touchdowns. They didn't have a touchdown occur for the Bears until the second half of the game. So things were pretty rough. I don't know if that trend is going to continue or not. Now, let me ask you this. We got two things coming up. Well, mainly we've got still going on here in Tampa Bay, obviously, is hockey. With have the Lightning played? They played that first game against the Rangers. I don't know. Have they played any hockey since then?
No.
Okay. So we got our beloved Lightning trying to get back to the playoffs. And we've got, of course, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Are they playing this weekend?
They are. They are in Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay. Is Pittsburgh any good this year?
No.
So we should win that game?
Pittsburgh is going with their rookie quarterback.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they're just not very good.
Okay. Dare I ask you, is there any hope for Tom Brady and his wife to reconcile?
I don't know. They're not making that public, and they shouldn't.
No, they shouldn't, actually. No. None of our business, really. Okay. Fair enough. Ed, I don't even know if we can do drums anymore. Can we still do drums for our top 10? We are. All right. At least we've got our drums. And this comes from Wallet Hub. The top 10 most dangerous cities. Now, Wallet Hub compared more than 180 cities across 42 key indicators of safety. Our data set, meaning Wallet Hub, our data set ranges from the percentage of residents who are fully vaccinated and assaults per capita, all the way, also the unemployment rate and road quality. So it's not just physical violence danger. We got all kinds of danger we got to worry about, all right? So that's why it might not necessarily be the one with the most homicides, okay?
Right.
All right. Having said that, the lower the number, the more dangerous, okay? So here are the top 10 most dangerous cities. Here we go. Number 10. Number 10 is Chattanooga, Tennessee. I feel bad about that. I like Tennessee. But they have a lot of trouble in Chattanooga besides their choo-choo situation. Remember Chattanooga Choo-Choo? That was a famous
Chattanooga
song.
Choo-choo.
Yeah, it was a big song. And the Smoky Mountains are there. I like the Smoky Mountains.
I do, too.
Anyway, 60.54, for what it's worth, is their rating. Number 9. Number 9 is Jackson, Mississippi. Poor Jackson, Mississippi. I guess you do not want to go there. Everything's going wrong there. 60.48. Number 8. And I'm not surprised at number 8. Everything's bad there for a long time. Oakland, California. You know, you got San Francisco. For a long time, everybody loved San Francisco. But Oakland was like the bad sister.
The stepchild.
The stepchild of San Francisco. All right. Number 7. I like this city. I live there. Not in the city, but in the state. Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. What's wrong with those people? I thought they were nice. 58.49 is their safety or danger record. Number 6. Another place I live was Memphis, Tennessee. Tennessee's not doing well on this list. 58.47. Number 5. Baton Rouge, Louisiana is number 5. You know, New Orleans is a lot of, it's called the murder, the most dangerous violence city right now, for whatever that's worth. But overall, Baton Rouge has got a worse rating than New Orleans. Number four, Detroit. Poor old Detroit. You know, it used to be a vibrant city.
Probably was number one for a while.
Yeah, it was. Number three, San Bernardino, California. I don't know why, but things are bad in Bernardino, all right? Number two, this surprised me, Ed. Fort Lauderdale.
Wow.
Is the second most dangerous city, according to Wallet Hub.
Wow.
They come in at 48.78. 100 would be like a great, safe place, okay?
Okay.
All right. I know you have no idea, but let me tell you, it's a perennial city that has a lot of crime. Who do you think might be number one?
Let's see. I'm going to say Chicago.
Roll the drum.
I did.
Oh, you did. I can't hear it, so that's why I'm asking. No, but it's close. Close geographically. It's St. Louis.
Really?
Yeah. St. Louis is the worst. Nothing's going right in St. Louis.
Wow.
Ever been to St. Louis?
Nope. Not going to be there either.
If I were you, I would not book a trip there right now. All right. Anyway. We thank you for putting up with us today. Hopefully things will be a little bit better Monday when we return on Freedom Works. In the meantime, drive carefully, be safe, and we'll see you on Monday.
I hear the drums echoing tonight. She hears only whispers of some quiet conversation.